Good morning, good morning, WJNI listeners, locally and from around the world that's listening to the Jay Wright Show. It is 0900 on WJNI 106.3, the Jay Wright Show. You know the show. You're familiar with it. If you're not, become familiar with it. It is a call-in platform. This show is designed for you and mine, the listeners, to call in and engage in the conversations and the dialogue, informative information that's typically always put out on the Jay Wright Show. Again, on this show, the Jay Wright Show is designed to build bridges and close some gaps. We're going to do that here on the Jay Wright Show. So I thank y'all for listening this morning, this Easter Sunday morning. It's all about you. I want to thank you on behalf, and when I say happy Easter to you, the listening audience, I'm saying this on behalf of Jay Wright and my sponsors. My sponsors wouldn't have it no other way than for me to make sure I wish you a happy Easter on their behalf as well. So I speak for them. Ask You Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, VIP Bistro, Gyrus Place in Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, The Family Seafood Market, The Check Masters Check Cashing on Rivers Avenue, and The Chronicle, Our Black Press. I say happy Easter to you, the listening audience, on behalf of my sponsors, and I appreciate you for listening. And they appreciate you as well. Let me make sure I give a huge shout out to the professor in the studio with me today, Professor T. Bass. This is Easter Sunday, and thank you, sir,
yes, sir,
for being with me this morning. As always, David Mack on Saturdays from 1 to 2. Always a great show. Make sure you listen to David Mack. He's been around for way too long not to listen to him. I think he got 100-something years of radio, maybe, I think. But he's been around for a very long time, man. And always a great show. David's always putting out good information. In fact, on the show yesterday, he talked about, you know, some things and how this Georgia bill went from like 200-something initially to now over 300-something. So pay attention to that show. David's giving you information on Saturdays, and so I try to follow his lead on Sunday mornings and do the same thing. Warm and fuzzy day. We can't have I don't know if we can have a regular talk platform today simply because it's Easter Sunday. We got to talk about Easter. And if you want to, I'll put out a couple of topics and then you can call in. But more importantly today, I want to hear from you, the listening audience. 843-308-9564 is the number. Again, that number is 843-308-9564. Call up, engage in a conversation. Let's talk about Easter. Let's talk about what it means to you. Let's talk about your experience as a kid growing up, what Easter was like. What is your most memorable Easter Sunday to you? Did you have an Easter speech growing up as a kid? Do you even remember what it was? Call up. I want to hear your Easter speech if you can remember. I'm kind of challenged. I don't really remember mine. I think it was drilled into me so much that I wanted to forget it as soon as Easter was over. You know, I was mad that they was forcing this on me. But, as a kid, I grew up in Friendship Church, AME in Mount Pleasant. And Easter Sunday, that was my stage. You know, that was the Jay Wright Show before there was a Jay Wright Show. But what was funny about then is I was terrified. When I got up in front of that congregation, I was terrified. About 3 p.m., 4 p.m., that special Easter program, I was terrified. I always looked good because my mom made sure that was the case. She always made sure I was dressed up, and I can remember my favorite Easter outfit. It was a light blue short pants suit. Man, I was looking really good, but terrified when I got up there in front of the congregation. So before there was a Jay Wright Show, there was a little John Wright, Johnny Wright, that didn't, you know, didn't do so well in front of a large audience. My, how I've grown up. And the kids today, do they get a chance to, do you feel like they get a chance to take in this Easter weekend in the same manner in which we did as kids? Is there still all those same level of activities? Easter weekend was the best weekend, one of the best weekends for us as kids. I can remember Easter containing Easter Monday, you know. Who can remember there being an Easter Monday? Was that just an extension for a means to celebrate, you know, the Easter weekend? But anyway, I can remember there being Easter Monday. I don't even know if we went to school on Easter Monday. Did you go to school on Easter Mondays, Professor T-Base?
I don't remember, but I don't remember. Probably, maybe not. You know, the more I think about it, maybe sometimes we were off on that Monday. We were never off on that Friday, I don't
right.
think. But maybe we were off on that Monday. So.
Hey, well, look, you know, I can remember that, man. See, and don't let y'all think we're telling our age here because we're in our 30s, kind of, sort of. But you know, those were such memorable moments. And it's always good to look back on those days because, you know, you look back because you want to remember some of the fun activities that you experienced as a kid. And so, you know, if you can remember your Easter speech, I want you to call up here and I want you to say it. I don't care if you're 90 years old. If you can remember your Easter speech, I want to hear it right here this morning on the Jay Rice Show. This is where you're going to have that chance. Do you still have any pictures of you in those Easter suits back in the days? Call up and tell me, you know, how is the churches managing with this whole lack of activity? Got a caller on the line. I think that caller want to give me that Easter speech. Caller, good morning. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Rice Show.
Good morning, Brother Terry Bass, and good morning, Jay Rice. Mr. Jay Rice. Mr. Jay Rice, you know what? I used to carry my children when I was little. I don't even know all that about the Easter speech when I was little. But when I got saved, I used to have my children say Easter speech. And, you know, by the super light, we know the real reason for Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you know?
Right.
But I don't know anybody who stole my Easter basket and all that. And, you know, because I cook for Easter, and, you know, buy a little decoration sometime. Mm-hmm. But we know the real reason for Easter. Jesus rose. He rose. He was resurrected. Then Mary resurrected the third day.
Amen.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
We want to keep it real about Easter, you know?
Yes,
oh,
ma'am.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Right. So ain't nothing wrong buying things for the children. I did it myself.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
I've done it. I bet you I've done that.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
But just keep it real what Easter means, you know? Just thank God that Jesus risen.
Yes.
Out the grave.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
Yes, ma'am. I thank you, ma'am, for that mini sermon this morning. This was your Easter speech, sort of. Let me ask you a question, ma'am. Okay. Call is gone. But thank you, ma'am, for that call. And, you know, I wanted to give you.
She said something very, very true, though. You know, the commercialization of holidays has always compromised the holiday.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. 1,000%. In fact, my question I was going to ask her is, did she grow up in a household where they ate ham for Easter?
I'm sure.
Yeah, I you know,
honey,
I really
baked ham was sold out yesterday.
Exactly. But you know what's funny is, as a kid, I don't remember ham being a major part of the menu. Not unless I was, you know, I was kind of weird anyway.
You just didn't like ham.
Okay, I love
it. It was there. It was there.
It was there. Well, you know. What are your memories? What are your fond memories of Easter? Because I'm sure you have them. Great weekend. I'll tell you what is definitely different this weekend, as is a whole lot of things in today's world, is the NCAA basketball games being on Easter weekend. That is not, you know, that pandemic is changing things, and to have that game on this weekend was kind of weird and a little different. The women's championship game is tonight. They'll be on about 6 p.m., and that's going to be Arizona and Stanford. South Carolina, we didn't get the cut. Don Staley, you didn't get us there, but that's all right. You You're a great coach, and I'm sure you you got plans for later. But tonight is the girls' championship game, and then tomorrow is the championship game between a very good game last night, Gonzaga and Baylor.
If
you stayed up and watched it, which I had to do, and then, of course, Baylor just completely blew Houston out. So, but the later game, the Gonzaga UCLA game, was an excellent game, and so so it's gonna be Monday night's gonna be a fun night, and it always is. You know, I've got a couple Final Four experiences under my belt. You know, 2001, I was in Minneapolis when Duke beat then Arizona, and my big nephew Reggie Love and them won that national championship. Man, that was a big night. We had a great time, me and my brother-in-law, Lifer, and Richard Love, and man, we partied, we had a great time. In fact, we went in the celebration as the president was congratulating the team after the championship game. So thank you, Reggie, for those great memories, and 2001 was great. 2017, I was in Phoenix to see the then Tar Heels beat. I don't remember who they played, but anyway, Phoenix, great week.
It was Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, exactly. Yes, sir.
And my Gamecocks were there.
You know, Terry,
it should have been North Carolina versus South Carolina, but we missed it just a little bit against Gonzaga in the semifinals.
You know, Terry, it was funny, man. That weekend I was in Phoenix, I had on a Carolina jacket and a South Carolina hat. So I was representing both the North and the South.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what really became my takeaway from that game that weekend was how the Carolina fans
showed up.
Showed up, but was so rude and obnoxious.
Which one?
The South Carolina Gamecock fans.
We were rude, huh?
Rude and obnoxious in Phoenix. I mean, I was embarrassed to say that I was from South Carolina. I had to take my hat off. You know, because in the game, they were throwing beer on people, and South Carolina were losing. Then they came out the game, and fans of South Carolina, you could not have been proud to be from South Carolina in Phoenix in 2017.
Oh,
that was not good. But great game, good weekend, of course. So those are my Final Four experience. If you've never had one, you want to take part in a Final Four experience. You know, this is the show today where we're going to try to keep it a little light and fluffy. I called one of my childhood friends yesterday because it's always good to get his insight about what these holidays mean and what they mean to me and what they mean to you. And he's the professor, Damon Fordham. So why not get his insight on what Easter means? But we had real comedy in that conversation yesterday, because it was weird, because I said to the professor, I said, professor, you know, there's a gentleman that I met in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I'm going to talk about Cincinnati in a few minutes, named Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is a gentleman that always has these ideas and these concepts about what Easter means and what Valentine's mean, and he always correlate them to kind of like doomsday almost. But anyway, I was calling Professor Damon Fordham because, y'all please bear with me, but he said, it was said that Easter started in Europe as the Easter leg hunt. That's right, go ahead and laugh, because that's what Pharaoh said, not Jay Wright. And not on the Jay Wright show am I saying that's even remotely true. But what I am saying is that Pharaoh said it. And so I called out my professor, Damon Fordham, my childhood friend, and we laughed about that. It was very comical, and Damon didn't know anything about it starting as the Easter leg hunt, and by the time I got here to America, it became the Easter egg hunt. So we laughed about it, but it was funny. It was really funny. So that's, Damon is older than I am, and he always want to tell me what to do, and sometimes I listen, just sometimes. But anyway, he great conversation, but what he did tell me was, you make sure tomorrow morning you mention that tomorrow will be 53 years since MLK was assassinated, And you also make sure you mention that that 6 years ago Walter Scott shooting here in Charleston, Charleston, North Charleston area. He told me you make sure you mention those two things. Those are relevant. And so I Professor Fordham, as I did like you told me to do. So so you guys take notice of those days. And
as you say that, you know, sort of ironically, the situation with George Floyd, the trial is going on.
Absolutely.
Which there are some correlations between Walter Scott and the George Floyd. And you know, once again, I always say Charleston area, for some reason, we don't get the front billing on how it should be in the aftermath of those situations. But, you know, we kept our heads for the most part, and the process played out, and the officer sits in jail,
yeah,
as he should.
You know, that's interesting you brought that point up, because, you know, in my attempt to try to keep the show light and fluffy with Easter, I do have some things I would like to at least chime in on. And one would be just that trial. You know, is this trial for justice for George Floyd, is it something a little different than what we've seen in the past? I have to really applaud law enforcement for testifying and literally saying that what he did was not a part of no training that they were aware of. And literally, this is the trial that I'm seeing where law enforcement officers, and I applaud them, because as a soldier, I spent time in combat with soldiers, and there is some lawlessness that can happen, but I applaud them for taking the position that they're taking. And we have to pay attention, because Michael Slager is trying to get out of jail. So we got to pay attention to that, because, but again, I want to applaud law enforcement. I really want to applaud them, because they're coming up and they're saying that, look, what you did was wrong. So I think we'll see justice in this case.
Amen. I believe it.
So let me get right on the line, and I got my guest on the line. I can't wait to talk to him. Good morning, Quentin Washington. With Quentin Washington Close Up. How are you this morning, sir?
I'm doing great, John. Yourself?
I am well. Quentin, man, this is I am honored this morning. First, I want to say happy Easter to you. And
Likewise. And
I want to ask you, did you have an Easter speech growing up as a kid?
I believe we did, yeah. As a matter of fact, I have to post my photo, my Easter photo from back in 95 when I was at the corner of Reed and America Streets on the Charleston East side. And I was going, you know, getting ready to go to an Easter sermon at Mount Carmel right there, okay, around the corner. So, yeah, I did have one for sure.
Well, listen, man, I, Quentin, when I opened the show, I was opening the show talking about Easter speeches and how good I would look on Easter Sunday. And and you know, but what I don't remember is the Easter speech itself. So, you know,
right,
just something about that age thing. You know, I don't have Alzheimer's. I got sometimes I just don't remember things. You know, but nonetheless, it was a great time, and it is a pleasure having you on this morning, Quentin. Let me get you to introduce yourself to the listening audience, because Quentin, we believe, I mean, on the Jay Rice Show, we got millions of listeners. There's no question about that. We got millions of listeners. And this morning, having you on the show is, it does me justice, because it makes me feel good, because you just got through with your, but you're going to introduce yourself to everybody, but you just got through doing 2,000 interviews. And please tell me that the Jay Rice Show is the first interview media interview that you've done since that 2000 interview. Am I the first?
That's exactly right. Absolutely.
How about a listening audience right here on the Jay Rice Show? I tell y'all, we're going to build bridges and close gaps. We got Quentin Washington on with us. First interview after his 2000 interview. Quentin, tell us about yourself and how you got started in this journey.
Well, you know, I'm the founder and CEO and executive producer and obviously the interviewer and journalist for Quintus Close-Ups. And it's an interview web show in which I interview newsmakers from around the state, around the little country, from here to Washington. And I started it in May of 2012 with just a flip video camcorder. And since that time, almost 10 years later, I've grown, as you just mentioned, to 2,000 interviews I just taped on Thursday. So what I do and what I've gotten done to get to where I am now is simply, you know, doing interviews, you know, almost every day or weekends or holidays. And it just depends on what's going on, breaking news, special events, elections, whatever. So that's how I've gotten to where I am today with those particular numbers of interviews.
Well, you know, 2,000 interviews, that's huge, right? Because
thank you.
did you have a plan on when you projected to be at 2,000 interviews? Did you imagine that, you know, 9 years later, roughly, you'd be at 2,000 interviews?
No, not at all. I never had a plan. I just kept doing what God has mandated me to do, which is to do interviews and provide a public service to the community, just like you're doing and everyone else is doing. So What I'm doing is just a small part. I'm just trying to do my part to help with the public and keep them informed. But no, I never had a plan. I just kept doing interviews and I will continue to do interviews. So it's just getting the information out to the people. And I don't really seek publicity because, I mean, after all, I do interviews. And so, you know, people see what I do there. But it's all about just trying to help the community and keep them informed of what's going on around them.
Well, Quentin, here's what I hope I like to see, and that's just me. I like to one day see your close-up on TV. I love to see you with a TV show real soon, man. That's what I envision for you because I think you deserve it, number one. Number two, I think you'll be very good at it. And I consider you quite a distinguished gentleman from Charleston. And so I think you could... You'll do good. And I think you'll make us proud and America proud. You know, to know that you're from the area. What are your most memorable interviews?
Yeah, you know, just a couple. This is just recently. Reverend Anthony Thompson, obviously his wife Myra Thompson was killed in a church shooting at Mount Emanuel here in downtown Charleston. Mm-hmm. And so when I did that particular interview with him on Zoom, he basically unveiled a lot of information that we all didn't know. Mm-hmm. You know, he was trying to get into the church, see what was going on. He was just adamant about not taking the news that his wife was dead. He was adamant that she was still alive and something else happened. So that particular interview was very, very memorable. And, you know, he has a lot of strength. I mean, the guy is just amazing. And to just see him to be just as calm and collected and, you know, as he is and as he was at that particular time, it's just awe-inspiring.
Wow. And you said he was trying to get in the church.
After the shooting, and a couple of people stopped him. And of course, he had questions about, you know, who's in there? What happened? How did it happen? And of course, he detailed this in the interview. Of course, they didn't give him the information. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he was trying to use his experience as a former law enforcement official to try to get information that he and the other family members wanted to get. So Eventually they got the information, but not at that particular time. I think they had a little struggle, you know, as he was trying to get in the church, but he just couldn't get in that particular night.
Right. Yeah. Well, I can only imagine, maybe I can't imagine, being in that situation. I can't imagine again, but if it's like situation, I could see myself trying to do the same thing, because you want answers and you know, you feel incomplete without physically being there. So I want to thank you for that interview with him because, again, like you said, he revealed some things that we wouldn't have known. And so I thank you for that interview amongst the others. What's the most toughest interview you've had?
Just a couple of weeks ago, I was trying to interview Congresswoman Nancy Mace, but apparently she had some other Zoom meetings to go to, so I didn't get as many questions in as I wanted to get. But hopefully her and her team will come back around and we can sit down and do an in-depth interview soon, because there's a lot of questions that many people in her particular district have more answers to, and I'm hoping to be there to ask those questions on their behalf.
Well, Quentin, you know, let's make sure I make my million listening audience aware that Nancy Mace is our congresswoman from District 1 here in Lowcountry. And so, Quentin, you just indicated you've interviewed over 2,000 people. I mean, 2,000 right. people. So, Nancy, I don't know where you are or what you're doing, but if you don't, you need to have your people call Quentin close up, because you just don't tell Quentin no. So me and the listening audience are going to demand that you and your team contact Quentin to get that interview, because we want to know what's going on, and what better way for us to know than to come from the distinguished gentleman from Charleston, South Carolina, Quentin Washington. Quentin, how did Quentin Close-Up get started?
It started in May of 2012. May 24th, 2012. It was a Thursday, May 24th, 2012. And as I indicated earlier, I was, you know, obviously taping an interview on my flip video camera with Charleston attorney and former Charleston County School Board member Larry Gabrowski. Did the interview at his office at the corner of Queen and Meeting Streets. And that's how Quentin's Close-Up started. Initially, it was called Quentin Reports, because that's what the show was called when I was working at WLCN-TV in Somerville.
Okay.
But at that time, you know, they were laying off people because CTN was being sold to WLCN, still sold to CTN. So that's how Quentin Reports, and eventually now Quentin's Close-Ups came about. But that's how it started, with just a little flip video camera that someone actually gave me.
Wow. Who would have thought, right? You know, that speaks volume to fact that you're passionate about that, because you know you started with a flip phone, and and now you're in State House, and you're in all over doing interviews, and you know, I know you were born here in Charleston and raised here on the east side. You still live on the east side now?
Yes, sir, I still do. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Wow.
This is home. As far as that, that's all I know, you know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I grew up with a lot of people who are still living here. And, you know, it was a different east side back then than what it is now. And, you know, some people, you know, they think this gentrification has basically wiped out the east side. But, you know, change happens. And, you know, some people still want the old east side back. And I can understand that, because it was a different time when people knew each other. And you know, were safe around each other. And yes, they had crime issues back then, but, you know, we all weathered the storm, but it was crime back then, and it's crime now. But, you know, the east side is, you know, it's a special place in my heart, you know. This is where I went to school, Frazier Elementary, Sanders Clyde Elementary, you know, and, you know, of course, Courtney Middle School, when we had Courtney Middle School. Mm-hmm. And that's all I know. That's all I know is this east side.
Right.
And, you know, I don't see myself leaving anytime soon. I don't think my family's leaving anytime soon. My grandmother has her own house here on South Street. So, you know, this is home. The east side is just home for me. And I can't see myself being any place else in the city of Charleston.
Man, that's a big deal, Quentin. And you can tell that you're very passionate about where you live and how you were brought up. You know, and again,
right.
I consider you a distinguished gentleman from Charleston.
Thank you.
You know, I was raised in Mount Pleasant, and I often speak of being gone for 29 years serving my country, and in the last 8 years being home, it's been a thrill and a joy, because I love Mount Pleasant, man. I love to come back home to that community, because, you know, it's where my roots is, and you know, if you can come back to your roots and have an impact, then, you know, that speaks volume, and I think you being from the east side definitely means a lot, and it has to mean a lot to the people from the east side. So thank you so much, man. And so who is Quentin Washington? Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, I'm just a, you know, regular quiet guy. I keep to myself. I don't, you know, I don't have any friends around me like some people think that I do. Don't have anybody, you know. The people that I interview, I, you know, interview them, and that's that. I don't break bread with them, hang out with them. No. I keep it strictly professional for a reason.
Right.
But I, you know, like I said, I keep to myself. I love running. I just ran yesterday. When you saw me a couple of weeks ago as I was going to Walmart to get a new SIM card for this phone that I'm talking to you right now, I was running down Coleman Boulevard and eventually went over to the church there in Old Village. But, yeah, that's what I love doing. I love running. Love doing interviews. You know, that's what keeps me busy and keeps me doing something.
Right,
times when I want to do interviews just to keep me doing something.
right.
But I love doing interviews. Yeah, I love doing the interviews. Gosh, I love reading the Bible. Love going to church.
Right.
And, you know, when I went over to church a couple of weeks ago, that's what I like. I want to get back to church, in a physical church. And so that's what I like doing, going to church, running, reading the Bible, and just, you know, doing a lot of interviews. That's what I like doing.
Well, Quinn, that's again, you're a credit to us, man, and I appreciate you. And you know, you may not think that you have friends, but you have a lot of friends, because you may not be their friends, and you may just be interviewing them. But when it's all over said and done, there are people that say, "Oh yeah, Quinn's my friend," and I'm like, "Okay, good." So it was good seeing you that morning running, and I know you are an avid runner. Years before I had all these knee issues, I used to enjoy running myself. It's so much thought process can be done, especially in your world, doing a nice run. You can accomplish a lot, and you can solve world affairs while you're out there, and plan as well. So hopefully you're taking advantage of that. So when I saw you that morning on Coleman Boulevard, right, I was like, hey, that's Quinn. I gotta give him this card. Yeah. So I kind of pulled up in front of you, like, you know, like I was stalking you or something. Like, Quentin, you need to call me, you know. So, so thank you so much for being on the show again. I really appreciate this. It means a lot to me to have the opportunity to interview you. You know, because you've, again, as I said, you have done tons of interviews, and for me to have this opportunity speaks volume. So, who do you want?
A lot of sacrifice too.
Right. Actually, so who do you want to interview in the future?
Oh, you know, Don Staley would be great, you know. Don Staley would be great, you know, if I can, you know, interview Governor Nikki Haley about the upcoming PGA Championship, that would be great.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many other people that I would, you know, love to interview. Jenny Sanford, I've been trying to get her every year. So, you know, people like that I would love to interview as well. So, yeah, those are probably three people out of the gate that I want to interview. Asia Wilson with the Las Vegas Aces. You know, somebody like that who obviously played for Don Staley. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, definitely I would love to interview those particular people in the future.
Good. Well, that's, you know, there's a great possibility that somebody from somebody's listening that'll tell them that, you know, Quentin's on and Quentin's talking about you. That's what we do here on the Jay Rice Show. You know, we close those gaps. And so there's somebody that's listening. I may know those people. And if you do, you call them up, tell them that somebody needs to give Quentin a call so they can be a future part of that 2,000-plus that Quentin has now accomplished. So what's the future of Quentin's close-ups?
Just to continue to do what I'm doing. You know, just, I mean, it's nothing broken, so I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, you know. And, you know, people are watching from around the world just as well as they listen to your show. So I'm looking at analytics all the time, and I'm seeing people from around the world watching Quentin's close-ups, and people locally who are watching, and people come up to me all the time and say, hey, thanks for this interview. This, you know, this helped me made my decision with voting or whatever, or, you know, this solved this issue. So I'm going to just continue to do a public service for this community and do what God has told me to do in that vision. So, yeah, Quentin's close-ups is on the roll. It's continuing.
Outstanding. You know, I was fortunate enough to be interviewed by you as well in 2017. And, it was a pleasure. It was a very easy interview. You asked tough questions, but you asked them in such a subtle kind of way, you know, that you just can't avoid answering them, you know. And but I want to thank you, man. I really want to thank you for that interview in 2017 for me, and then to have the opportunity today on the Jay Rice Show on WJNI 106.3. Interviewing you for the first time, being the first media outlet to have a chance to interview you after 2,000 interviews.
And I tell you what, you know, people get mad at me for these tough questions I ask, but it's my job. It's my job as a journalist to ask those questions. It's nothing personal. It's just business. And again, I'm here to inform the public just as you are. So I just don't want people to take it serious. I mean, I'm asking these tough questions for a reason. It's, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I'm not here to be well-liked, you know, or whatever. I'm here to provide a public service to the community and, more importantly, do what God has called me to do. So, you know, when I interview these people and they say, well, you stumped with those questions, It's not stomping. I'm asking real questions that people want answers to. So I just don't want them to take it, you know, get mad at me when I'm asking these tough questions. I'm asking it for a reason. And I'm going to continue to ask them. I don't have a problem with it. Whether you like me or not, I'm going to ask those tough questions.
You know, Quentin, you continue to do that because that's very important. Let me tell you why I say that. And I'm sure Professor T. Bass, I'm going to let him chime in as well. But one of the things, the reason why I say that's important is because I don't like softball. I like fastball. I want there to be some challenge. So asking tough questions only create a better dialogue. You know, I think for too long in America and in society, we've been playing softball with issues. We got to stop playing softball. We got to stop playing hardball and speed things up a little bit. Get to where we need to be because, you know, if you give me an interview and you ask me all the questions that I'm ready for, that may not be an interview, you know? So thank you for doing it, Quentin. And I often tell people all the time when they say things, I'm like, you need to CNN them. You know, and what I mean by that is you need to ask some tough questions. You don't need to just, you know, let things be as they are, you know, and that's people aren't ready for tough questions. And Professor T. Bass, you probably got about a couple thousand or better interviews and under your belt. Let's talk about this.
Well, just a shout out to Quentin because Quentin interviewed me once. This is Terry Bass, my friend. I would like to think, just based on the length of time I've done this, that hopefully somewhere along the line, I gave him inspiration to say, you know, I want to do some stuff like what maybe he heard me do at some point in time. But he was always a supporter of the things that I did and the different radio people that I've had the fortune of grooming up and so on and so forth. And I remember when I had a job transition, first person to call me was Quentin. He hit me up and was like, man, Terry, can we talk?
Right.
And we met and we did it. And
at the library.
Yes, sir. That's right. And I think what Quentin does should be appreciated even at a higher level because it's not like he just had the inspiration within to go and start doing something.
Right.
Not thinking about the where this is going to go, he just said, let me do it.
Right.
And then look where it has gone.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I would ask this question, Quentin, and I know at some point one of the TV stations had engaged you about some things. Is that still going on?
No, I mean, I approached them about doing a, you know, even a 1 minute segment for Quentin's close-ups on a Wednesday. And they're like, no, one station's like, no, we have to get our commercials in with sports. So, you know, that's why I'm doing what I'm doing here on YouTube, you know,
Forget
it down. I'm just going to continue to do what I'm doing.
Absolutely. Right. But I would say this to the TV folks that are out in the city and all the extra channels that they have. And, you know, Quentin should be, somebody should have the vision to say, man, this brother puts all this work in to a video presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if we can get him over with us to at least, I mean, he's doing all the work.
Absolutely.
But so I don't know if I don't run TV,
right.
But if I did, he would be on, and he would be a part of, I mean, you got Bounce, you got Low Country, CW, you got so many outlets. But you know what? You keep doing you, because YouTube, you get your numbers where they need to be, and then that's you keep doing YouTube and let it grow and grow and grow. And I'm gonna help you out with that Don Staley. I'm gonna try to work on that because I want to do a Don Staley celebration before she goes off to the Olympics. And I had the pleasure of interviewing her once some years ago. And you talking about just one of the straight up, most straight up people.
Yeah,
you can meet.
Yeah,
she's that. So I know she would probably do it in a moment's notice. I'm going to see if I can help you on that, sir.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
And it's good to hear your voice.
Hey, man, good to be heard. You know, when I 10:01, I'm headed to church with mom. But We working right. a little bit on an Easter Sunday, but keep doing what you're doing. And folks out there, if Quentin Washington reaches out to you, give him the interview.
Absolutely.
Playing point
blank. And Nancy did give me the interview. It's just very, very short, and I'm hoping I can just get another interview soon so we can ask some critical questions.
Right.
COVID, the infrastructure bill, these issues going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Quentin, would you reach out? Would you talk to Donald Trump?
You know, anybody, I don't.
You know, I love it. That's a good journalist.
That's right.
A year or so ago, I wanted to interview him. I would have stood right in that room where you are, Jay Wright.
Okay.
Because he was coming to town. I said, man, right. I'm going to try to. I reached out to Tim Scott. I was trying to hook it up.
Right.
Still hadn't heard anything.
Yeah, well, I Quentin, if you get a chance, or T-Bates, if you get a chance to interview him, send him my way when you're done.
sure.
Because I certainly
I interview
like,
any and everybody.
There you go,
that's
man.
Right.
I would certainly like to interview him. I think it'll be probably the more comical interview that one would ever have, but because it'll do 20.
He
man.
Might do it now. He's got some free time.
I'm gonna reach out to him, see if we can get him on the Jay Wright Show, right? Quentin.
Yeah.
Quentin, let me thank you, man, again for your time on with me this morning. It was certainly a pleasure, man, and you do have tons of friends. You do keep up what you're doing, and it is and it speaks volume to our TV stations that are not interested in the Quentin close up, because we talk about how we want to promote local products, right? Local people. That's something they're going to have to fix. But here on the Jay Wright Show, we'll talk about them until they do fix it, Quentin. And thank you, sir, for what you're doing, man. And I appreciate the interview. And any parting words?
Oh, I'm going to just, thank God and Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, for the opportunity to do Quentin's close-ups. And I pray that they'll continue to give me the opportunity to interview more and more people for years to come.
Outstanding, Quentin. Thank you so very much, man, for what you're doing. We appreciate it, and on behalf of all my sponsors, man, we all got love for you, brother. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Likewise. Take care.
All right, take care,
brother.
All right.
Thank you, Tyree, too. Bye-bye.
That's Quentin Washington, the most famous man in Charleston County. He really is. Tons of people got a lot of love for that brother, and I do, too, and he's certainly an example for our kids and for those that that are looking for someone that can be quite inspiring. Quentin would be that person. I want to make you aware of something. You guys know, of course, I often talk about my 13 years. I lived in Cincinnati, and so I got fond memories of the place. But I want to tell you something about Cincinnati. Mark Twain said that Cincinnati was the city that was about 10 years back. And so I want to bring you up on something that's happening right now. Something very strange is happening in Cincinnati right now. And they are being invaded. Cincinnati is being invaded by billions of cicadas. It is the strangest thing, and it tells me that evil lurks in the Midwest and in Cincinnati. So that's why I got out of there, because billions of cicadas is taking over the Midwest right now, in particular Cincinnati. And I was there in 2004, and it's crazy because these cicadas come out every 17 years. How ironic and how crazy is this, right? Every 17 years, you're invaded by this insect. And when they come out by the billions. If you roll your window down, 90 of them in your car within a matter of seconds. You cannot go outside. It's evil lurks there, because I would see people walking around slapping themselves and smacking themselves because these bugs were everywhere. And it's the strangest thing. So you Google cicadas 2021 Cincinnati, and it is by far the strangest story. My daughter was terrified at age 4. She would not go outside. I mean, it was the craziest thing. She was sitting in the door and watched them. And what's funny is that it's billions of them around. They all come out. They all come out. Their brothers, their cousins, their friends, they all come out. And then suddenly they just all evaporate. They're all gone. And it's the strangest thing in the world. So it tells me that evil lurks in Cincinnati.
Uh-oh.
And so take a look at that. Take a look at those cicadas 2021. And they make noise like a train. Got a call on the line. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. You're on the Jay Wright Show.
Good morning, Johnny Wright. How are you?
Good morning, caller. This is my cousin Emily. Happy Easter to you. How are you?
Same to you. I'm doing fine. How are you today?
I am well. I'm well. I'm talking about Easter. I'm talking about Easter. I'm talking about the trial. Okay. What is on your mind, Emily? I appreciate you calling up every week. There's always something on your mind. I know it. Let's hear it. What are your thoughts? What's going on with you today?
Oh, okay. What's on my mind, first of all, it's a beautiful day here in North Carolina.
Good.
But what's on my mind is I was watching the trial this week. And everybody seemed to be saying the same thing. Every witness that the prosecution has called has said basically the same thing. And what I think is what's going to turn this law enforcement around in our nation is that you're going to see police that are decent come out against the corrupted police. That's how this is going to change. Because they literally have disassociated themselves with this man.
Well, you know, that is something that that is a little different about this trial. And if there's anything it does, at least gives us some hope that there could possibly be some justice for George Floyd. Because when we,
I think so,
and oftentimes, you know, we're tough on law enforcement when we look at these kind of issues and how it reflects negatively on them, you know. And a while back, I was doing an interview with Reggie Burgess, and he was talking about how hard it is to be a cop and be a black man, you know, and how he's, you know, held to these standards. And, you know, so we're hard on them when they don't get it right. But this is the time when we have to applaud them, because it seemed, definitely seemed like they're saying, OK, you're a bad apple. We're going to get rid of you. We're not all bad apples. So that's kind of what I'm taking away from that. And
that is true. Because, see, they make it bad for the police that are decent, that do not behave like this. All police do not behave like this.
Right.
It's just this particular disgusting individual, you know, behaves like that.
You know what? I'll tell you one of my takeaways from the trial. And I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I got a caller going to be calling in a second. But, you know, I initially thought, probably like you, that the 8 minutes and 46 seconds was all I had heard early on. There were T-shirts made with 8 minutes and 46 seconds. How you had to been, you had to been disturbed to find out that it was 9 minutes and 29 seconds. Was that one of the big takeaways for you?
Yes. 8 minutes and 46 seconds disturbed me.
Right.
9 minutes and 29 seconds, I think it was.
Yeah.
That even more gross.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And everyone that came there that wanted to give aid, that were able to, they held them at bay. Right there, you're guilty of sin.
Right.
For doing what you did.
Right. Thank you so much, M, for chiming in. I continue to listen and call in. I appreciate you. There is something strange about a 5'9" man being the aggressor over a 6'3" man. So. So thank you so much, Emma. I appreciate you. Enjoy the rest of your Easter Sunday.
Oh, okay.
All right. Take care.
Okay. Enjoy your day too. Okay?
Thank you. All right. All right. That's my cousin Em. That's she's a regular weekly caller. I'm gonna jump right in and get my caller that's on the line. Good morning, caller. Welcome to WJNI 106.3. Is this Mr. Coleman Bates?
This is him. Is this Mr. John Wright?
This is Mr. John Wright. This is my buddy, my friend Coleman. Thank you, sir, for being on with me this morning. It is a pleasure. You know, we're brothers. If you see a picture of Coleman, and we don't look alike, it's because I look better than him. But he is my brother. So Coleman, it is a pleasure having you on with me this morning, man. Let's talk about the foundation that you've started, why you started it, and this huge scholarship fishing tournament you have planned.
Yeah, so there's two things we got kind of going on. First is, you know, the Brody Bates Foundation that you're a little bit of aware of. That's our son we lost 2 years ago. And so we started that, you know, it's kind of a tragic event, but we wanted something because, you know, his life was short, 2 years, but it touched a lot of people's lives. And mm-hmm. and going through that and having he had an older sister, Porter, that she's 7 now. It's just the tough battles and struggles that you face losing a child and having a sibling that survives. And so we thought about how could we help. And so, it just kind of came. A lot of people were giving input. And so we started this foundation, and the Brody Bates Foundation. The goal is to raise enough money in the future to be able to give scholarships to high school kids that have also lost a sibling. Mm-hmm. And they can, their parents and the kids as well know the pain and difficulties that comes with that. And so it took a while, you know, setting up a nonprofit, a lot of paperwork, a lot of stuff, and a lot of people donated to that, and it's coming in, and eventually we'll be doing some more events, golf tournaments, stuff like that. But after that accident, you know, in 19, it kind of led into the fishing tournament. So, you know, the day of the accident, my brother and I had bought a sportsman's boat from Hankel Marine, and we got some friends that, you know, they started Sportsman's Boat. Well, they heard about it, and they had been wanting to start something to get the community involved and to give back to the local Charleston community. So they asked if they could honor their tournament by naming it after our son, Brody Bates. So mm-hmm. that's where the mm-hmm. Brody Bates Redfish Open started. And so last year was the first year of that. And there's a guy, Rayburn Poston, he runs it's called the Salt League, SALTT. And it's a league for middle school and high school kids. It started up in Horry County in Georgetown, and then it grew. And then, so this guy has this league, and he's been running these tournaments. So he kind of hooked up with the Sportsman's Boats people. And so that's kind of how they were able to create the tournament. They honor our son. And then through that tournament, if the kids, middle school or high school, if they sign up and join the Salt League, they then can participate in the tournament. And they give, you know, middle school and high school divisions, they can earn scholarship money. And one of the great things with sportsmen's, you know, they, for amateur or high school and middle school, they can't give you straight money. They can right. give you gift cards and stuff. But with the scholarships, they have a guy that will, if a family, you know, doesn't have a 529, they will help set up the 529 and then donate your winnings into your 529 education scholarship for families, so that then can grow. And as the kid graduates, they'll have a 529 plan set up.
Good. Very good.
So it's been real cool.
That's very good, Coleman. And now you lost your son. How old was your son at the time?
Brody was 2.
He was 2. And you lost him in 2019.
Yep.
And and you know, we can rejoice because you and Casey now have a new son.
Yes. The miracle of medicine. I had a vasectomy and so I couldn't have any more.
Right, right.
But funny thing is, we ended up meeting a doctor the 4th of July after the accident. There's 50-something urologists in Charleston that do vasectomies. Well, there's only 3 that do reversals.
Wow. Wow.
So just by God's random presence, I met this guy, 4th of July. I'd never met him before. His daughter played in a class with Brody. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, I heard about your son. Our daughter used to play with him, and I'm one of the 3 doctors that can do the reversal, and I'll be willing to do it for free.
Wow.
So that was pretty cool. He waived his fee, and we just had to pay for anesthesia. And and it worked. Wow. So we had we found out last December, we, you know, Casey got pregnant with Boone, and so wow. Boone is now sleeping in the car with me, and he's 7 months old. So he's one of those little babies that wasn't supposed to be here, but God wanted him here.
Absolutely, Coleman, and I think it's so beautiful, you know. I mean, and I'm so happy for both you and Casey, you know. And so let's talk about this fishing tournament. When is it going to happen? And can you give the website? I did post the website for my millions of listeners, that's in my listening audience, on my Facebook page, so they can go to to the Jay Rice Show on WJNI's Facebook page, and there is a podcast there on WJNI's Facebook page, and that you can take a look at this tournament. When is it happening, and can you give the website?
So, yeah, I'll give you a little. So it's next Saturday, April 10th, and so if you go to the Brody Bates RedfishOpen.com, and that's where you go and register. So this is kind of the little details, which is a little tricky, but, you know, we're trying to let people know. So the kids go on there, and they have to join. So they have to register and join, and then they have to have an adult that drives a boat. Mm-hmm. That adult has to also go to the website and register as a captain.
Okay.
And so Rayburn Poston is the guy. He'll communicate once you register a request on the website. And you can hit it on your Facebook. Live 4 News has it posted there as well. You can find it on our Brody Bates Foundation website.
Okay.
But, the main one you want to get to is the Brody Bates Redfish Open. And you can register there.
And Coleman, there's a lot of money involved in this tournament, scholarship money. So, I mean, there's what? How many different opportunities is there?
So there's a middle school division and a high school division. And I think they're paying first, second, and third. I think first place in each division is $5,000. I think it's $5,000, $3,000, $2,000, I believe is how they got it split up.
Wow, yeah that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and so we want to last year – ended up, now there's very strict rules on it. So I advise those that are listening, you know, the captains, whoever the adult that does the sign up as a captain, there's certain rule, like the adults can't touch the fishing rod of the kids. You can't touch the bait. You know, there's a long list of rules. So don't play ignorance when you're reading the rules, because I'd hate for someone to catch a good fish and get disqualified.
Wow.
But it's and no one did last year. I mean, they're very it's very clear. The guy who runs the league, he's made these rules to really help protect the tournament and make it really fun and all about the kids. And if there's anybody interested, they can contact him directly and they'll talk about it, and there's help, you know, just in case there's some people that might be a little not as experienced or whatever and getting involved. They're very helpful with teaching. And they, you know, the main goal is to get more and more kids involved with fishing, especially in the low country, and give them an avenue to get on the outdoors, you know?
Right. Well, Coleman, I want to thank you so much, man, for putting this together in honor of Brody. Great opportunity. Go to my Facebook page. Take a look at the tournament, look at the qualifications and the criteria, get involved, get your kids out there involved. Thank you so much, man, for taking time out Sunday morning and being on me, and happy Easter to you and the family.
Yeah, man, thanks for letting me on, and have to get us back on next time. Maybe we'll do a live call during the tournament or something.
Outstanding. Let's work that out, Coleman. Thank you, man. Enjoy your day.
Appreciate it, John.
All right, thank you.
Bye. All right.
That's my buddy Coleman, man. That's my brother, man. We just I look better than him, and he kind of look a little different for me. But I got love for him, man. And good dude, good fishing tournament. Get the information, be ready, so you can be a part of that. I want to thank you all. We're coming up on the end of the show. There's so much I wanted to get in, I didn't get in, but. Thank you, my sponsors, Askew Paint and Body Shop, Dorothy's Funeral Home, F. Brisbane Mortuary Transport, VIP Bistro, Gyrus Place, Charlotte, North Carolina, Johnson Hall Funeral Home, Hannibal's Kitchen, Family Seafood Market, Check Masters check cashing on Rivers Avenue and the Chronicle, the Black Press. Thank y'all. Happy Easter. Stay in peace till next week.